Good morning. Welcome to Locust Grove Church as we are adapting, like all the other ministers of this great country, to come to you live, at service time, live. But this is a pre-recorded message, and we know that God is with us and God is with you guys at your time as well. So we have been on a series that I've entitled Just Connect, and today we're going to conclude that series. We've talked about connecting with Christ. The connection that God established, the connection of fellowship, is the one that we are responsible for, but He established a connection of relationship with Him that He is responsible to maintain. We are responsible for fellowship. He's responsible for relationship. So now, and then last week we talked about how the neighborhood bar is Satan's greatest counterfeit to the fellowship that God intended for there to exist within the church, how the neighborhood bar is permissive, it is accepting, it is democratic. People share their deepest, darkest secrets and know that they won't go any further to the person they talk to because the person listening doesn't really care about spreading them around, that there's true, kind of not the best community there can be, but there's true community. And that how many people don't go to the bars because they're alcoholics, but because they have the need to connect with others. So this week, we're gonna close our Just Connect series by talking about the connection that God has made, created with all of us, and how we are to protect that connection between us. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, God. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for all those that are tuning in at their leisure, according to their schedules, Lord, to hear the Word of God. Father, I thank you that I can sense your anointing even now, Lord, for your Word to go forth, for it to be powerful, for it to minister to all of us, to our individual lives. Thank you for giving us grace sufficient, Lord, during this time of a shelter inside kind of a new reality that we're experiencing now, Lord. But thank you that we can connect, but on a limited basis through technology. And we're thankful for that. We'll seek to be faithful to use it, Lord, to your glory, for the advancement of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4, Just Connect. We are concluding this series. I've enjoyed it. I think it's hit on some very important points about connecting with Christ and connecting with one another and people's deep, innate need to connect with one another as well. So we're going to carry on that thought into this, and then we're going to pursue it here in the next several minutes, all right? Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read three verses of the fourth chapter, and let's begin reading with verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness. And how many of y'all know that your pastor needs to work on those too? Not too many amens there, please. With long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. I love that phrase, bearing with one another in love. That means that we're going to overlook our weaknesses. Come on, somebody. We're going to overlook our faults. You know, I've discovered in relating with other people that I can focus on their strengths, and we all have strengths, or I can focus on people's faults, and we all have faults. And, you know, I'm determined to look at all the positives of a person and try to build them up and try to magnify their positives and tell them how much I appreciate them because of A, B, C, and D, rather than saying, well, you know, I don't like this about you and I don't like that about you. And, you know, I don't want to be that type of person. I don't want to be that type of human being. I don't want to be that type of believer. Do you? The Bible calls us to edify, to build each other up. We're part of one body, as we will see here shortly. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Take that phrase in mind. Keep it in mind. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What is the unity of the Spirit? Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look at how we came into this unity of the Spirit. All right? So we're looking at that phrase, the unity, keeping the unity of the Spirit with the bond of peace. All right? So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. Did you notice that? That we were all baptized. The word baptized there means we were engrafted. We were drafted. Like, you know, a person is drafted into the army. A single person is drafted into a larger body with a common cause. Well, you know, we were baptized. We were initiated in some sorority houses, fraternity houses. They're initiated. Well, we were baptized, initiated, drafted, and grafted into a larger body of believers, and we were made to drink of that one Spirit by the work of the Holy Spirit. So that is how this bond between us, this connection that we have with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, that's how that was created. It was the Holy Spirit that drafted us, that initiated us, that grafted us into a larger body. So that's what we would call the unity of the Spirit. It is a work of the Holy Spirit that happened when we gave our lives to Christ. You know, immediately, just like that, when we prayed the prayer, when we cried out to God, that moment, for me, it happened April 1st, 1982, long time ago, and wow, what a journey, what a great life I've had. Not easy, but it's worth it. And so, when I was 15 years old, a few days shy of 16, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And at that moment, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, that I was baptized into the body by the Holy Spirit. That means that not only did I enter a relationship, an eternal relationship with my Lord Jesus Christ, I entered an eternal relationship with my brothers and sisters in Christ that at that moment I did not know, because I was alone praying that prayer, but that I would come to know that they too had made that same decision. They gave their lives to Christ, and thus we are one body in the Holy Spirit. All right, make sense? So now let's look at Ephesians 4 again, please. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. How do we keep that unity of the Spirit? That word keep in the Greek language, means to maintain, to guard, to protect. Interesting, huh? Now that I'm a believer, it is my responsibility to protect my spiritual relationship with you. You know, the song of Russ Taff when he was with the Imperials. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. And then, what a beautiful song. And we are brothers and sisters. So, you know, my first responsibility with you is to honor that relationship that the Holy Spirit created. Because it's not my work. You know, I have to look beyond. Now get this, I'm sure none of us ever have to do this with other people. I have to look beyond personality differences. Hello. Well, so-and-so is so quiet. Well, so-and-so is so overt and obnoxious. Well, are they a Christian? Well, yeah, they are. Well, then it is your responsibility. It is my responsibility to protect that relationship. Come on, somebody. To protect that relationship, because it is a relationship that transcends my ability to have made, to have joined with you in relationship like that. It goes to the Holy Spirit. It's from the top. That's where this relationship was forged, spiritually. So, you know, whether I share the same personality, Ben says you do or not, whether your preferences are different than mine, you know, it's okay if you like country western music. That's okay. That's not the unpardonable sin. So it is important that we recognize that we have a responsibility to each other. And that includes not allowing divisions, pettiness, or the enemy, come on somebody, or differences to come between us. That is part of guarding, protecting, maintaining the unity of the Spirit. I've got to be a bigger person. And so do you. We have to work things out. We have to communicate. We've got to iron things out to make sure that our relationship with each other as brother and sister in Christ is on the up and up. You know, I've been thinking about doing this teaching, and I might do it down the road. You know, often we focus on the IQ of a person. I know some people that have a very high IQ. My very best friend, Burke Beasy, high IQ. You know, we hear about a person's IQ, but did you know that people also have a spiritual quotient? They also have an emotional quotient. Now, let me break that down for you. Normally, we think of the intelligence, how good a person's intelligence is, but there's also a spiritual quotient, and that's measured in Galatians chapter 6. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, right? That is how you measure, a person measures their spiritual quotient, how far along they are in their walk with the Lord. But there's also an emotional quotient. And listen, I bring this up to simply say that relationships are going to test your spiritual quotient and they're going to test your emotional quotient. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that will cause the true maturity of a person to surface when differences creep into a relationship. Can I get a witness, please? Amen or oh me. So differences, when they creep in, it tests the maturity of a person. It tests their spiritual quotient. Am I forbearing in love with a person I have disagreements with? Or do I get offended just at the drop of a hat, on a whim, I get offended? Well, if I get offended just like that, and if I start throwing emotional tantrums, well, you know, that says about me that my emotional quotient is very low. Come on, somebody. Don't leave me flapping out here by my lonesome. Right? So, that test shows that my EQ is down, and so is my SQ. And I can fight and fuss and try to justify why I'm right and why you're wrong, but that still doesn't make this relationship work. Alright, I've probably gone to meddling, so let's go back to the scripture before I continue. So far so good, right, church family? Good teaching. It says here, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. How do we keep the unity of the Spirit? In the bond of peace. I seek peace between us. Right? I seek by all means to try to be a genuine peace with you. I seek to be at peace because that is what the Holy Spirit wants between you and me as we have connected with each other in this divine connection that the Holy Spirit began. So peace has got to be important. I've got to honor you. I've got to verbally encourage you. And sometimes when there's a little bit of a difference, and I've got to be truthful in love, not hateful, not spiteful. You know, a lot of people say, well, I just speak all my mind. Well, you're a fool according to the book of Proverbs. Don't flatter yourself, baby. Don't think you're all that. Because the Bible says even a fool, when he keeps his mouth shut, is considered to be wise. Hello. I think we live in this culture of, well, you know, we have a wide streak of independence running up and down our back, only getting wider, and we feel that we can tap off anybody whenever we want to, however we want to, you know. No, not if you're a believer. You can't do that. We have to love one another, and we have to try to maintain peace with one another. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Notice, honor all people. How many people are we to honor? All people. Only those we agree with? All people. Only those that we get along with? All people. Love, notice the next phrase, love the brotherhood. What is the brotherhood? It is this connection that the Holy Spirit began between you and me. If you love Jesus, and if I love Jesus, then I'm commanded to love you, and you're commanded to love me. Amen? And I'm commanded to do my best to maintain unity between us with peace. Okay? I'm to love you, you're to love me in Christ. Love the brotherhood. That would be a great banner to have over our churches. Love the brotherhood. Love one another. The words of Jesus. I give you a new commandment that you love yourself, that you love others even as I have loved you. Not love yourself. Okay? So love the brotherhood. Now here, I'm going to pause here and just kind of make an illustration. So we have our two wonderful subjects come forward, please. We're going to illustrate this so that you can maybe, as I was praying about this, this came to mind, so that maybe we can have this emblazoned in our minds. I feel like sometimes when we illustrate things, they stay with us longer. They stay with us longer than if we just... if I just tell it. So here we have this lovely lady, Kiki, and Mr. IQ himself, and pretty built too, like an ox, Mr. Gene. So, guys, if you don't mind standing over here, side to side, just kind of side to side, okay? Are you capturing this, Ms. Sheila? Notice, Gene is stronger, Gene is a little taller. He's not as pretty, though. I want to make that clear. But in Christ, they're standing side by side. That means Gene's not better than Kiki, and Kiki's not better than Gene in Christ. You guys agree to that, right? We're on level footing here, baby. You got that? So they're together. Now, okay, I want you guys to stand back to back. Back to each other. Okay, this next posture shows the way they need to protect their relationship. Gene's got Kiki's back. Kiki's got Gene's back, right? We are to keep the unity of the Spirit with a bond of peace. So they're going to protect each other. Someone comes over here, hey, Gene, I want to tell you something bad about Kiki. What are you going to say? No. Hey, Kiki, I want to tell you something bad about Gene.
Crazy.
And this girl, she practices it. She practices it. Is he doing something? Oh, that's not well. Okay, now we're seeing them rub against each other, not in a good way either. But okay, can you guys turn towards each other and face each other? I know maybe you can keep a 6-foot distance here, but
yeah.
Okay, there you go. Now, if they have problems, and problems in relationships will come to any relationship. Hello, right? And so if they have problems, they're supposed to be looking at each other eye to eye. They need to talk things out until they see things eye to eye or agree to disagree. Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming up. They need to agree to disagree. This is vitally important. They're communicating with each other face to face until they can see eye to eye, even if that means they agree to disagree. That is vitally important in relationships. Now, why do I say that? Because if there's no face-to-face, well, you can have the side-by-side, You could have the back-to-back, but if you don't have face-to-face communication, and I mean honest, open, loving communication between them, perhaps about differences, perhaps about misunderstandings, whatever the case, if you don't have that, then the peace that will exist between these two will not be authentic peace, it'll be a false sense of peace. Let me say that again. If there's no genuine communication between the two, then there will not be genuine, authentic peace. There will be a false peace. What is a false peace? Don't rock the boat. We don't have to talk about it. Sweep it under the rug. Now, I'm not saying be confrontational about everything, and I'm not saying that we should always be in your face with someone. No, that's not what I'm suggesting. But I'm telling you, if there's no genuine, authentic communication, there won't be any authentic peace between the two. Let me try to explain it a different way. Now, I don't know how many of y'all have gone skiing, snow skiing. I've been water skiing. I've been snow skiing. It's fun. And I'm not a natural at snow skiing. I can water ski, but not snow ski. And took a lot of tumbles on that slope in, I think it was Vail. Gosh, it was a long time ago. I was in my early 20s, so that'll tell you how long ago that was. But so if you're driving west of Denver, there is no way to get to Vail, Colorado, unless you pass through the Eisenhower Tunnel. There's no way around it. You have to drive through the tunnel to get to Vail, Colorado. Now, I use that as an illustration to say that in order to achieve, listen carefully, church family, in order to achieve true, authentic peace with another brother or sister in Christ, or perhaps your husband or your wife, come on, somebody. You have to go through the tunnel of conflict. You have to put up with a little bit of conflict to achieve true peace. Well, Pastor Joe, you had me, it was a great message until you said that. You see, I'm a peacekeeper. Do you realize that there's a difference between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker? In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus didn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. What I'm talking about now is peacemaking, not peacekeeping. I feel that sometimes, listen carefully, church family, I feel like I'm speaking about the Spirit of God this morning. I think sometimes that one personality that is not as strong as the other personality in a relationship will lose their identity to try to keep the peace with this stronger half of the relationship. And so they always keep their comments to themselves. They always capitulate. They always roll over. They always wave the white flag. And this person's always, in essence, getting their way. But this person feels resentment because they're not heard, they can't really speak, because to them, conflict is too bad or too high of a price to achieve real peace, so they settle for a fake peace in the relationship. Ooh. Strong thought, huh? Well, Joe, what am I supposed to do? Well, I do as I just illustrated, be face-to-face, lovingly communicate with the other person. Right? Let's say there's a personality called Henry the Hint Dropper. And Henry the Hint Dropper, I see heads waving, I'm assuming we're hitting a nerve here, is tired of his wife cooking TV dinners every cotton picking night. So one night he musters up the courage. He says, tonight I'm going to communicate with my wife. Hi, honey. Hey, what are we having for dinner? Oh, we're having Stouffer's stuffing. Hey, babe, have you thought about maybe we should invest in stock in that company? And he's thinking to himself, oh yeah, now I'm letting her have it. The wife is none the wiser, even though Henry keeps dropping hints. Well, honey, I'm just suggesting that because I heard the stocks are up on that, and they're just going up, and so maybe we should invest in TV dinners. He's thinking, now she's getting the point. She's wondering, Henry, can you cut through all the chit-chat? What are you trying to get at? See, that's a hint dropper. Hint droppers are peacekeepers. They're not peacemakers. Okay? What about Ivan the Intimidator? Babe, we need to quit this TV dinner stuff. I'm telling you, Bob's wife eats fresh cooked meals every night, and I'm tired. And I'm tired of TV dinners. You need to start cooking. You need to go to cooking school. Ivan the Intimidator. We can go on and on. I won't. I'll just keep it there. But there are different ways that we skirt around the truth. You know, we talked about forbearing with one another in love. But can I tell you that love is not love unless there is truth involved? Hello. Wow, I feel like we've really dug deep in this particular lesson, haven't we? As we close our Just Connect series. You know, I'll say it the way I once heard it many, many years ago when I was a teenager. I heard, love without truth is deceptive. Truth without love is destructive. You need both love and truth in relationships. I want to encourage you to keep tuning in because we're going to have this great series next Sunday about perilous times shall come, which will address head on what you and I are experiencing. And you know, the whole world is in it with us. So, but I want to give you God's perspective and I want to give you encouragement. So keep tuning in. God bless you. I love you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this teaching. Thank you, Father, for these wonderful people of yours that are tuning in, taking time out of their schedules, Lord, and tuning in to hear your word and hear the application thereof and how it deals with us, between us in this particular teaching where we are bonded together in peace and how the Holy Spirit creates this relationship and we are responsible, Lord, to lovingly speak truth, to ensure that we achieve authentic peace between us, and to also see that we are protecting this relationship by every means, Lord. As you told us in the book of Romans chapter 12, as much as lies within us, we should live at peace with all people. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. God bless you.